This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 16th of March, 1954. The title of this lecture is Outline of Processes. This lecture is 59 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
This is March the 16th afternoon lecture. Going to cover some of the things that an auditor should know, the processes which you should be able to use. The history of processing is one of steady advancement forward into more and more effectiveness on more and more difficult cases. Every time we can remedy a more difficult case, we find that an easy case remedies faster. Therefore, the research into more difficult cases has not really been in the direction of solving difficult cases at all. Been in the direction of making any case solve quicker. The results which, for instance, an auditor in Unit 3 reported this morning was a totally black case, totally occluded with no reality on anything, operating Thetan at about 12 hours. Now, this case, of course, might have been one of those cases where the individual was simply stuck in a black incident, which he shook free from rather rapidly. But nevertheless, this is not an unexpected procedure. Now, you take a step one who has pretty good visio and a little sonic and so forth. Now, what you can do with him in a very short space of time is very remarkable indeed. You can shove him all the way on up the line. Well, now, how do you shove somebody on up the line? What do you do? What processes do you use? The processes break down rather rapidly into certain definite categories. They have to solve several problems. The problem is not just one problem. There isn't just one, you say, problem which is solved by one process. There are several problems. These problems, of course, interlock, but they should be treated as separate problems. These problems are as follows: exteriorization and interiorization. That has a problem. A person should be able to exteriorize from and exteriorize into anything. Just flatly, anything. Then there's the problem of distance. A person should be able to cross, which is to say, be at one end of a distance and then be at the other end of the distance, with great ease. He should be capable of being in any place, that is to say, area, past, present, or future, which is, of course, the problem of distance. If there are unknown places he had better not cross to, he is very careful not to flip into them. Then there is the problem of simply changing postulates or making postulates, just this as a problem itself. Then, in addition to this, there is the simple problem of creating energy. A person should be able to create any of the particles of energy. Now, I'd call your attention to the fact there are an awful lot of these particles. There's a tremendous number of them. There's admiration, and there's courage, and there's enjoyment. Just to name the top flight particles: admiration, courage, enjoyment. Something that's almost a particle, serenity. Then, of course, and we must not neglect, no matter how we protest against force, the particles of effort, force particles, quite vital for a person to be able to create these. The first I named are solvent particles, and the latter I named actually are heavy barrier particles, mass particles. A person has to be able to create these things. Now, if an individual can do all these things, he's in terrific condition. Very, very fine condition. Well, all right, so you're processing a preclear who has gimpitis. Very horrible disease, diagnosed by the medical profession as utterly incurable, except by 89 operations, all of which are incurable. Now you get this pre-clear. He lands in your lap. If you want a fast case, what do you do with him? Well, you say, of course, we treat gimpitis.
No, you don't.
If there's something like this with a preclear, you'll get faster, further, by handling the case as a case, not handling it as a specific ailment. Anytime you want to stall yourself down, stop yourself, and take a long time in a case, treat a specific illness in the case. Anytime you want to go slow, put on the brakes, share the preclear's tremendous interest in his gimpitis. And don't just treat it as a case of where the exteriorization, interiorization, distance, duplication, and areas where to be, have to be remedied. You could name these things in the very exact categories. There really isn't any real reason to do so, as the whole problem. You can just stand there and sort of look at the problem. The problem is component parts of beingness. You get him change his postulates around, and his gimpitis is liable to go away. Well, if you've solved the case, you've solved the illness. If you've solved the illness, you haven't solved the illness. That's a fact. I mean, if you've solved his gimpitis, you haven't solved his gimpitis. If all you did was go into the case and fix up the fact that he had hokey-pokeyosis, and you're very happy now because he's gotten over this horrible, discurable indictment, why, you better not be happy for more than 3 or 4 days, because he'll have it back again. Why? Because you have not solved the basic problems of beingness. And if you have not solved the basic problems of beingness, then you haven't solved his gimpitis. Psychology, a 19th century effort to study the mind, has long gone into apathy because they discovered that every time you got somebody rid of something, you got something else. Which, by the way, is not a true statement. That does not occur. An individual either gets the same thing back, or he gets something else, or he changes his emotional tone to a lower tone level. There's three things could happen, but of course in the 19th century they didn't have very much to study with. And as a consequence, their observations were not very accurate. He doesn't just get something else. His tone may go lower, and that disease which you cured him of may not be incident to this lower tone. For instance, if you can get somebody who is very angry into fear, his arthritis will go away. Take an arthritic and get him out of anger into fear, and his arthritis will go in, and it'll come back when he goes into apathy or grief. See? You've got a new tone drop. And the psychosomatic ill will go. But let's remedy the whole case, then, and let's remedy it in terms of a problem of beingness and remedy the conditions of beingness, which are to be remedied, and we find out we get rid of anything. So we sit down to coffee shop audit somebody to get them over something of the sort. Anything. And don't be surprised the next time you see them, find out they've got it back again or have something else worse. Because you just sat down there to run a little bit of an assist of some sort or another and get them over a hump. All right, is there anything wrong with running an assist? Not a thing. Matter of fact, you very often have to run an assist. There's somebody who has just got through running into the side of an automobile or something of the sort, and you want to patch him up temporarily or momentarily so he feels a little more comfortable. Or he's had a very badly burned hand or something like that, and you want the burn to recover. Or he's had a broken bone and wants to heal. In other words, any one of these things is a problem with healing, require the removal of a traumatic condition. Traumatic condition is a fancy word for engram. The problem there is that healing will not progress in the body until a certain shock condition is gone out of the area. Well, now, don't expect by removing that shock condition immediately from this one little area that the next time you see the fellow, by some miracle, you're going to have a theta clear or something. You won't. All you'll have done is to have assisted the body to heal. Well, sometimes you start an emergency assist and you find out that it works rather poorly. A case that really had to be in horrible condition to have an emergency assist, which is now the remedy of havingness, not work. A case that had to be in horrible condition. But maybe this took place. You should have plowed in an entirely different area. It should have been something then that would have straightened out the case instead of the havingness. That, obviously. But this appertains to a step one, too. A person who is at step one has an emergency assist, and it helps out. He doesn't slump. It doesn't make him worse particularly. But don't expect that it did anything more than to assist some healing process or get them over a particular or interesting worry of some sort or another that they're packing around. Somebody is frantically worried about something or other. You can even have a match terminal this, and you'll get a change of condition. They're worried about a clerk in the office, so wondering whether or not he will or will not do his job or work out. And they seem to be just very, very worried about this clerk and so on. You just say, well, put the clerk up twice and let the clerk discharge against the clerk. And just hold it there, put it back a few times and so on. They stop worrying about the clerk. Don't consider this, however, in any other bracket then, an emergency assist. It is just that, and don't expect anything more from it than it will assist the immediate condition without remedying any other condition. It won't change the tone level of the case to amount to anything, and if carried on too long, will actually deteriorate the case. Here, we have stripped the significance out of a piece of energy by any of these emergency assists. We just stripped some significance out of some energy. He can have the energy without the significance, so he's happy. All right. It's true, then, of concept running an enormous number of relatively effective techniques. But where are they effective? They're as effective as they take significance out of energy or cause the preclear to create new energy. Havingness. Nobody you ever process has enough. Remember that. You're never going to process somebody who has enough. That's what's wrong with him. This is a scarcity universe. And basically, what is wrong in exteriorization, interiorization problems, which of course is the first problem you run into with a preclear, what's wrong there is, first and foremost, the most obvious, havingness. I said first and foremost. Actually, there's a little higher echelon wrongness there, and that's beingness. He can be a body that is being something. Now, you say, be 3 feet back of your head. Well, if you knew what he was being, if you knew he was being a body and then being this thing, you could exteriorize the thing, then maybe exteriorize him from the body with very tricky work. But you have a scarcity of havingness, which makes energy tremendously valuable. He can't have energy, but he can have energy, but he's got to have energy, so he doesn't want energy. This kind of a whole bunch of postulates all thrown together and mixed up, and energy masses which he must get rid of and he must pull in, and, very involved, extremely involved. Well, any time you get these involved postulates, involved difficulties, he can have, but he can't have, but this and that, where he's hung up on lots of maybes, where his communication lag is long, any one of these conditions can be summated by havingness. He's got things he doesn't want, and he can't have things he wants. These two conditions are right there. And so there's something wrong with his havingness. Now, if there's something wrong with his havingness, there's something wrong with his time, of course, because he's stuck all over the track. He's in real bad shape. Exteriorization, interiorization. He can't get rid of what he wants to get rid of. He can't get into what he wants to get into. He can't get out of something that he's in. In other words, he's just having difficulty there with, on his last echelon, as it plows in most recognizably, havingness. Well, now we can go into this at a little higher level to remedy it. We can go in and remedy havingness at a higher level. But don't overlook the fact that you are remedying havingness. We go into it on a higher level in this wise. Beingness. Let's find any case anywhere, and we start to open up the case we will find that we can run the case quickest, really, and remedies having this quickest and so forth by joining it in with beingness processing. We play these two. We finally get him into a can't, he can't be this and that. And he just goes on this way. All of a sudden, he can be something. He can be something that's heavy and dense. And then he suddenly starts to dope off. Zing. Well, you found something where you can remedies having this. You can mock up a dozen, two dozen of these things and snap them in, just like the one he's being with great certainty. And you'll find out that his havingness on this object will remedy rather rapidly. This is very adroit. Very adroit auditing. Don't miss that. It's as fast as you're good. This is a case now that would be really terribly bad off. I mean, the fellow's occluded. He can't get any certainty on where he is. He can't exteriorize. You run something on the order of be 3 feet back of your head and give me some places where you're not and duplicate a few things. No, he just isn't tracking with this. He thought he was for a minute, but he's not, and so on. Then he tells you, well, he got out of his body once, and we back into it again, and he doesn't like that. And he calls that thing that gets out of his body his indifferent self or his cosmic unconsciousness, or we don't care what this is. You'll get some kind of an explanation about all this. Well, the difficulty there is an exteriorization-interiorization difficulty. So therefore, we have a havingness difficulty, which therefore is and primarily is a beingness difficulty. He can't be a body, and you ask him to get out of a body. He can't be a body, so of course he can't get out of a body because he's not in one. But there he sits, damn it, right in front of you in an auditing chair. Of course he's in a body. Well, no, he's really kind of out of a body because he sees his body kind of remotely and detachedly from a distance. Well, this would be a case that's really bad off. You're going down in neurotic psychotic band here. This boy, you say be 3 feet back of your head. Well, he's liable to tell you, I'm over there, he's liable to say. He always will use that type of designation, by the way. It's I'm over there. A preclear who is exteriorized will have to recorrect what he is saying quite normally. I'm up here in the corner, whereas what's saying this is the body in the chair. He knows this full well, and he quite commonly makes numerous errors of this character. As far as they'd be errors to anybody that didn't know Scientology, he'd say, well, up above the lamp here, it's damned hot, but he's sitting right in the chair. All right? The fellow who is a remote viewpoint is saying something quite different than this. He's saying, well, over there above the lamp, gee, it sure is hot. Yeah, I see myself there, or something of the sort. This kind of a mix-up is a remote viewpoint. Well, this person is backed out. Again, this is a matter of remedy of havingness by remedy of beingness. Well, we can go downhill from this, and we get into really neurotic, psychotic personality. And when we get into these, first, I'll ask you what the hell you're doing auditing them. You can spend more time and have more grief. Well, you could make more able people able while you're making one psychotic able to stagger. And there's nothing to take down an establishment or your office or your peace of mind like a psycho, because he only has one goal in mind, that's knock you off, too. Either make you real sympathetic or real apathetic, or make you fail often enough because of the tremendous failure he's going through, or something of the sort, and his goal is to make you fail. It's something like you might as well have around somebody who's pounding down the wall with a riveting hammer of some sort, just something calm going on all the time. Mostly because we just can't afford good auditors on psychotic problems, see? There are some mechanical assists for these that we've been working on for some little time just to take them out of the bracket of auditing. But let's say, through your own stupidity and your agreeableness and your terrific sympathy towards somebody who comes lugging in a psycho, you know, you've been real dumb, and you take this psycho on. And what do you do in that case? Well, Hardin mentioned this morning, there's a list of 11 things that you do for one in, what is it? The handbook for preclears. That's right. Yeah, there's a blueprint, which is a workable blueprint for a cycle. There's step 7, SOP 8. And then, of course, although this isn't necessarily a psychotechnique, just like contact, which is step 7 of SOP 8, isn't a psychotechnique necessarily at all. Step 7, SOP 8, and opening procedure of SOP 8C are workable. And you can work them for a very long time. And on a strictly neurotic or slightly psychotic personality, you sit around and work with the next to the last list and self-analysis. Something's really real and so forth. You'll get considerable response from the individual. I hate to sound militant, but I feel real militant when I see an auditor handling a neurotic without ever asking him the next to the last list and self-analysis. I feel real bad. It's only been sitting there for 2 years. You can do all sorts of things with this case. Until he can remember something real, he isn't going to do a thing. It's the break point on the case. I mean, sometimes they'll just do a little pop and bing. There'll be somebody who's been lying around the shop at the establishment or the home that people have been mauling over and trying to do something with and auditing, and auditors have been around, and these cases quite regularly turn up on my doorstep, and they've been audited for 8,000 hours or something like this and so on. There's one question they've never been asked, and that's, can you remember something that's really real to you? Well, I don't know where an auditor would be if he didn't know that little point. If he's wandered around that long and he hasn't tried this one on the case, why, he ought to have some process. Probably ought to have it run on him. But it's that one is a terrific little case breaker. It'd be interesting to look into the beingness of a person who is having this run on him. It is interesting to look into it and see it flick. I've seen as much as an hour communication lag on trying to remember something real. The guy gets, finally, it's a problem. He gets it into his skull and gets it plowing around through the thinking machines, and he finally gets determined. There is something someplace in his life that was really real. And the next thing you know, it turns up and a segment of his life shifts. Now he knows a little something can happen. It's a great reassurer. Probably the reassurance of it does more than anything else. He has a past, it tells him. There has been a yesterday. Well, it'd be kind of hard for you to embrace the fact that there are individuals walking around who have, well, it's not hard to embrace the fact there are people walking around who have no future. They know they don't have a future. That's not hard to figure. But a person who doesn't have a 5 minutes ago rather assaults one's credulity, how they can still moat, but they can moat. I had one fellow one time on this process that couldn't remember that he had just stepped out of an elevator and couldn't remember he had just entered the office, and he was sitting there wondering how he got there. Well, he just walked out of the elevator into the office. I asked him, remember something real? And we found something real, all right. We found something real, but we didn't get it on remember something real. We got on the fact that it was real to him that I was sitting in the other chair. This was real to him. Made him quite happy. And we started plowing back, got a little backtrack, and got a little more present time, got a little this and that going, and the case fell to pieces. But this is the real tough out-of-communication boy. How rough can a case get? Well, sometime, just for your own edification, you should go down to a sanitarium and take a look. How rough can they get? Oh, brother! They get real rough. Now, they have an emotion, for instance, called the glee of insanity, which is about the ghastliest, gooeyest thing you ever got plastered with. After you've wanted a psycho for a while, you run a session or run something on yourself, you all of a sudden run into this stuff. It's the energy of the glee of insanity. Real cute. A psycho is uniformly stuck in a must reach but can't reach, must withdraw, can't withdraw. The emotion called insanity can be turned on in an individual simply by running must withdraw but can't withdraw, must reach but can't reach. You can fool around with anybody and finally turn up this emotion of insanity. Yeah, it's a real, real interesting emotion. And that is the way an insane person feels. You can turn this up on anybody. You run that on a group, and they'll get the idea, and you're liable to stick a few in it. Well, so just leaving alone the psycho and leaving alone the neurotic personality, I've just given you some methods handling these. We can go into this more, or you can go look yourself at some of these items. We enter cases with the lightest processes we can enter them on. Always. We don't take all available processes, and just because the guy can run the light one and the heavy one, we don't for that reason then run the heavy one. See, I mean, we always use light processes. Let's not slug the case around any harder than we have to. Not because the case is delicate, but because you will work faster the more you stay out of energy. The case actually works faster the more you stay out of energy. But you have to enter this whole problem of energy when a person has exteriorization, interiorization problems. How do we get a person up so that he can change his mind about things? Well, a person's got just about as much chance of changing his mind about something if he is short on havingness as he has of flying to the moon with a body on a washboard. You see that? When his havingness is so reduced, his concentration upon havingness is so great that he just can't shift his mind or anything of the sort. His whole investment is in attention, giving and receiving attention, and so forth. And you try to get him to shift the postulate, and he can't shift the postulate. How do we fix it up so he can change his mind? Well, we remedy his havingness. That's how we do it. The remedy of havingness consists of making him capable of accepting or rejecting anything. Well, on beingness processing, this is much more amply and better stated. Make it so that he can be and unbe anything. And we have immediately exteriorization, interiorization. A person can't unbe a body if he has all of his attention while he's in a body on being a stove. See that? I mean, his attention's absorbed on this. Now you come along and say, well, the only reason you're sick is because you want to be. That's basically true. But it's just not remediable from his viewpoint. He just can't remedy it. He's got his attention fixed on several things which he is strenuously keeping in balance one way or the other. He kind of feels like a tight wire walker at the top of a circus tent with somebody fumbling around with a wire tightener. And you come along and you say, well, you're only sick because you want to be, and all you've got to do is change your mind and you're all set. Ooh, yes, you're just asking him to take his mind off of these things he's holding in abeyance and pulling to him, and he's got this all rigged, and he knows it's got to be just so-and-so, and you're just saying, well, just blow it all up or do something with it. And he gets sicker than sick on you if you do this. Well, the fact is that there are a lot of things which he is being and not being and can't be, and a lot of places he can't arrive, so there are things he can't communicate to, so there are areas he can't be in. And he just has to pay attention all the time. All the time he's got to figure on. Let's see now, I can't associate with a person who has a green stripe over his right ear, and I can't, this fellow is wearing, German shoes, and I only can trust people who wear Endicott Johnson's. This is figure. So he will be warned in time. You ask one of these fellows one time, what will you do if you're warned in time? Well, I at least know something about it. And you say, what are you going to do? You find out somebody is not trustworthy. You're sitting around all the time figuring out somebody not being trustworthy. What are you going to do if you find out conclusively they're not trustworthy? Well, I'll know they're not trustworthy. And then they'd be very baffled. Then they'd cook up a large lot of explanations. Well, in that case, we could do so-and-so. Oh, this is all very vague. The only thing they're doing is they've got their attention fixed on something, and they know that they unfix their attention from that, something's liable to happen. Well, mechanically, something will happen if they unfix an attention beam like that. They'll upset, you might say, the dynamics of the engram bank. Something will slip, skid, collapse, something. Well, they've got to have reasons for this, great significances. Well, the dickens with these significances. We're not interested in significances. A significance is kind of different in the postulate. It has to do with what will happen by reason of. The significance of this is the cause of that, is the remedy of something or other, is something or other, and it just goes on in a concatenation of logic. It doesn't have any real bearing on the problem. The problem is one of energy, actually, an energy form, and so on. Well, we're right in there, pitching, when we follow this kind of an auditing routine with a preclear. let's just mock this up as something you would do if you were sitting there and a pre-clear came in for a session. This is what you'd do. Now, as far as I know, at this time, the optimum thing to do, the optimum thing would eventually gain you the most time and produce the greatest amount of results and so forth, would be as follows. You would run some opening procedure on him. Just a moment or two. And if he needed it, a little bit more. You'd run a little opening procedure on him. Maybe 10 minutes worth, 5 minutes worth. Until you were sure that he was taking your direction. If you were not sure yet, you just run some more opening procedure until he was sure he could take your direction too. Now we'd go immediately into be 3 feet back of your head, the places where you're not. Just a light touch of step one, SOP8C. If he was 3 feet back of his head, fine. And you know where I'd go then? Just place where he's not, so he gets himself more certain, sort of oriented, out of the body, so on. I'd go immediately into beingness processing. I just wouldn't fool around with any intermediate steps, because it's been my experience that he is still pretty shaky and upset with problems of identity. He almost immediately gets upset with problems of his identity and not identity and what his relationship is with the body, and at no provocation whatsoever beyond simply being exteriorized and locating himself fairly well, he becomes philosophic and upset in an awful lot of cases. He's trying to figure all this out. Well, darn it, we're not interested in him figuring anything out, so we just start running him through beingness processing. We get him outside there and set him on the roof or something of the sort, and we ask him what things he can be. What he can be with certainty, this way and that. We all of a sudden, we'll find his perceptions clearing up very nicely, and we get him well cleared up, and then we would take him on a grand tour. Grand tour is almost a pat and exact thing. I mean, it's a very precise thing. It's change of space processing, really. You ask him to be in different places on the surface of Earth, back and forth. You ask him to be near Earth, then near the moon, near the sun, near Earth, to the moon, near the sun. Then you shove him through things. That is to say, you have him interiorize into Earth and exteriorize and interiorize and exteriorize and interiorize and exteriorize out of the moon, interiorize and exteriorize out of the sun. Just bing, bing, bing. Very rapid. Then you have him dive through Earth and the sun, the moon, and then have him dive through Mars. Halt just before he gets to the surface. I mean, actually move through objects rather than appear and disappear and appear. And then we get him pretty good shape. But as we've been exteriorizing and interiorizing him, we have again been upsetting his havingness. Because by exteriorizing and interiorizing him, we started knocking off set deposits of energy which he had sitting around, and we're able to find our pre-clear. While he is more certain, he is pretty unhappy. See, and as a matter of fact, if we kept this up too long, he'd go into a dope-off. Why? We're just taking energy away from him like mad. We're saying, now, be at the center of the moon, outside the moon, center of the moon, outside the moon, center of the moon. Sure, he's doing this, and you're just knocking his energy deposits into a cocked hat. You're not just moving him in and out of the moon, you're knocking energy apart all over the place that he's got stored and stuck and into his pocket and so forth. So we'd better go into some more beingness processing right after the grand tour. We take a fast grand tour, an hour or so of it is very ample, and then we go into some more beingness processing. We just simply play this game of beingness some more and some more, and all of a sudden we find maybe the pre-clear bogs on something. Boy, can he be a smokestack. And all of a sudden, he just starts to go zong, zong, zong. Well, you were actually tripping a smokestack, whether you knew it or not, by moving in and out of the moon rapidly. By moving him in and out of the moon rapidly, you were actually kicking this facsimile of the smokestack because there's a terrific scarcity of smokestacks. So you just have him knock up lots of smokestacks till he gets that remedied. Lots of smokestacks. And he starts to feel better and better, and then have him throw some smokestacks away, which is the other side of running havingness. It's not just inflow, you know, it's outflow too. All right, have him throw them away and accept some and throw some away and accept some more and mock up some more where he is and throw them away. And after a while, he doesn't care about smokestacks. His attention, in other words, is no longer fixed on the scarcity of smokestacks. That was what made the havingness. His attention is no longer fixed upon this scarcity. Well, what will we do with him after that? We've remedied scarcity of smokestacks, but we found out along the line that he wasn't being planets or something with any great ease. He could exteriorize and interiorize pretty well, but to be a whole planet and to be a whole star, something like this, he's just getting good at this. Well, about this time is the time to, after we've done all these other things, about time to lower the boom on him. That is to say, start an avalanche. Almost anybody can have an avalanche run on him. It could be said, with or without great truth, it doesn't matter, but it could be said that a person isn't really well off unless he's had an avalanche run on him. Why, you'd be surprised how an avalanche can roar. Now, what's an avalanche? You have the preclear start and inflow of objects. And by an avalanche, technically, you would actually mean, although you might just only work up to these things, planets, stars, and dark stars. Just that kind of stuff. Heavy, dense masses. And you have the preclear, mock these up, and they move in on him. Sometimes they go in reverse. You have to run the reverse avalanche before you run the inflow avalanche. Preclear starts mocking up Earths and suns and dark stars and so on, and they'll fly out. They'll avalanche outward just at a mad rate. And then after a while it slows down, then you have him make it outflow. See, it started kind of automatically, and now this time you make him outflow it at a mad rate. And you finally get him to a point where he can turn it all around. Now, make him inflow these stars, planets, and dark stars, which he's mocking up. Make them inflow. Now, quite ordinarily, and you should expect them to, they will snap in automatically, quite ordinarily. But you sure make them flow them in quick, and lots of them, and so on. And this way, you flow them in, you flow them out, you flow them in. You see, you can either start by flowing them in or flowing them out. Usually, you have to start by flowing them in, by the way. Rarely, you have to start by flowing them out. Back and forth, flow in avalanches of planets and so forth, and out, and in, and out, and then have him start, stop, and change the flow. Have him start, stop, and change the inflow, start, stop, and change the outflow. Well, when he's got this all boiled down very nicely, why, he can have a planet or throw it away. He can take it or leave it alone. He can have a dark star or throw it away. He can have a star or throw it away. Doesn't matter to him. He can take an interest in doing so. But you have really conducted a rather interesting operation in terms of the anatomy, you might say, of his own universe, of the engram bank, of other things. You shot his communication lines full of new juice, and all sorts of interesting things have occurred. You filled up old vacuums. You knocked out this and that. Now, he's pulled in a lot of facsimiles on himself, or he has a lot of facsimiles sitting around. Lots of them. A lot of facsimiles sitting around, which are simply there because they're all a mass he can grab hold of. Now we have some preclear who has a fac one that he keeps talking about. He's only got that there because he doesn't have enough havingness. That's the only reason he's got it stuck there. Now, you start an avalanche, you can fully expect to see such things as fac one facsimiles appear, hang fire, and then as you continue the avalanche, planets and things like that just won't pay any attention to the significance of this particular piece of energy. As you continue this inflow or this outflow, you quite commonly will see these things appear, hang, and blow up, or disappear, or go away. And some of the most serious ones that you could ever think of a preclear having. You say, well, my God, this is so significant. We have just discovered that until the age of 18, this girl was raped every morning by her father. And then beaten by her mother because she complained. And this is obviously the case, the whole case is right there, and all we've got to do is plow through this and dig up some more muck and stir around in that significance and interiorize into that one and monkey around, and you can waste all the time you want to waste, but remember it's your time you're wasting because you're just wasting time. This showed up on the avalanche, it'll blow out on the avalanche. Now what do we do after we've avalanched this guy for a while? In and out, so forth. Well, what we do is run some more beingness. And you'll find out, boy, can he be things now. Much better, much better. Then you run another type of tour. Change of space. But until you'd done these things, I wouldn't run this tour. Change of space. On the most vital areas in the mesh universe, a list of which you have, such as places of entrance to the mesh universe. That's number one. Now, how do you run change of space processing? It's very easy to run. Be in the place where you entered the mesh universe. Be here, be there, be here, be here, there, be here. Entrance here, entrance here. All right. Now we're going to call the entrance one, we're going to call the room two. One, two, 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 one, two. That Satan, you see, can move so much faster than you can talk that it starts to slow him down on this thing. And then we get the first place where he made his first facsimile, and we do change of space there, and we do change of space all over the track. In other words, we just get the whole place into present time. Now, what is significant about present time? What is interesting about present time? That is, that when your preclear starts out, there's only present time in one place in the whole flam damn universe. Just one place, and that's right where he is. That's all present time. That's total present time. It's right where he is. For instance, think of the place where you ate breakfast this morning. You really think of you eating breakfast this morning. You think of the town you left some little time ago. You think of that town as you left it some time ago. In other words, it's not in present time for you. But it is in present time. It's riding along in this exact instant. This is nice as you please. And until you have brought present time out into a wide zone around the preclear, you have not rehabilitated his command of that zone. How can he command things which are not in present time? The dwindling spiral of the cycle is to eventually have everything out of present time, including where he is. Now, very interesting when you run change of space processing. One, two, one, two, one, two. So, hey, wait a minute. Something blew up here. You say, well, go on again. One, two, one, two. Wait a minute. Gee whiz, it blew up again. One, two, one, two, one, two. Well, okay. You say, what you got now? Well, he says, there's nothing around here but empty space. He says, out here at this entrance point. He says, there was something here once, but there's sure nothing here now. Now, one of the most interesting tests you can make on this is childhood home. By the way, never run change of space on somebody who is stuck in a body. Please. You make them sick. In the first place, it generates a lot of energy. And by generating a whole lot of energy, it, of course, charges up the whole darn bank and so forth of the preclear. And so it'll throw all kinds of things into re-stimulation. But he is interiorized, and he knows that a body can't generate energy, and so he's got to fight, and he gets all confused. You only run change of space processing on somebody who's exteriorized. All right. You run childhood home, this room. Childhood home, this room, childhood home, this room. All right, we'll just say home room. All right, home room, home room, home room, home room, home room, home room. Ping, ping, ping. It sort of starts going over around the childhood home. My heck, he was running this childhood home back when he was in it in his early youth, 18, 12 or something. And he caught it there at that time. And all the places where he was stuck around it start to come into present time. See, ping, 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 ping. And the next thing you know, he gets the complete sensation. It's very real to him. The whole place comes into present time eventually, if you do it long enough. It'll eventually come into present time. Where change of space processing is not producing a result of this character, you're running some boy who is so viewpointed remotely, and he's doing something weird. He's possibly thinks he's exteriorized, but isn't exteriorized, or he's not doing what you said. There are a number of reasons for this, but if you run change-to-space processing and nothing much is happening, you've still got to go back and remedy the hell out of beingness. See? Unless you run change-to-space processing successfully, unless your preclear can run change-to-space processing successfully, your problem is still in the problem of beingness. As soon as he can really run change-to-space processing, bing, bing, answers the mesh universe, that's gone. Bing, bing, first place he makes his spectrum, that's gone. Yeah, bing, bing. Childhood on that square. Bing, bing. Boom, boom. You see, he's perfectly willing to explode energy all over the place and throw it away and so on. You haven't remedied a laviness and beingness of this preclear by a long way. He's still running on a whole flock of scarcities. Tremendous number of scarcities. And so you run change of space processing and, gee, that's a lovely... the childhood home is there, all right, but there's a lovely facsimile of it, too. There's that beautiful facsimile of where he fell off the front porch and busted his skull open. Oh, boy. Clutch, clutch, clutch. You know, it made a nice lot of massive energy, and he just loves that piece of energy. So that energy is real good. Yum, yum. I'll stick it in my pocket. Also, I can tell people how bad it is, and then they won't take it away from me. You see, if all the energy you had contained pain and horror and misery and despair and so forth, there wouldn't be anybody take it away from you. Unless you ran into people, unfortunately, who had that acceptance level, then they'd take it away from you. You see? This is a problem of acceptance level, the kind of energy which an individual will have around. All right. Let's go over this again now. If in the routine course of operation you were to audit the preclear, what you would do, you would give him enough opening procedure in order to reassure yourself that he was following your directions and he was capable of following directions. Opening procedure. You might even take a psycho and knock it off right there just by some opening procedure. Case is running real slow, can't do opening procedure, rather refuses to do opening procedure. Next to last list, self-analysis. Or contact, which is SOP 8, step 7. You're dealing with a cycle. Treat it as such. Or are these 11 steps in old handbook preclears? Yes, it's a lot of contact work, but actually its slant is toward direction. It's whether or not you can take or receive directions. Sometimes an auditor will vary opening procedure by having the preclear send him the places in the room, which, with a little kid, will produce the most fantastic effects. It'll bring his sanity level right up through the roof. Bing! It'll put him in good shape. If the person is tremendously out of communication, you can sometimes lay your hand near him, and he might eventually make a little motion towards your hand, at which moment you slowly withdraw your hand, and he makes another motion toward it, you more rapidly withdraw your hand, until he's completely convinced he can chase you away, and after that he'll talk to you. You fed him dangerousness. In other words, you flinch when he looks like he's going to do something. You could make pets well this way, little babies well this way, so on. Put your hand near theirs. Don't jerk away too rapidly right at first. You're liable to frighten them too much. So, your problem there of case entrance really does center around opening procedures, variations thereof. Unless you're specifically going to handle a problem of a psycho, and I've just given you methods of doing that. All right, we take opening procedure. How do you run opening procedure? You can merely say to an individual, all right, now let's go over to the chair and put your hand on the back of the chair. Now let's go over to the table and put your hand in the center of the table. And back and forth around several positions in the room. All right, now let's pick out a place in the room. And all right, now let's decide to go there. And touch it. The fellow does. You say, pick out a more exact place. All right, decide to go there and touch that. And he's picking out the places. Use a little self-determinism, but still under your control and direction. And then you decide, you tell him, now you pick out a place to go and decide when to go after I tell you. And this puts him in control, a little time on the thing. You can work back and forth this way. It's given in issue 24G of the Journal of Scientology. And this issue contains the immediate basic directions of opening procedure. It's really simple. What it does is establish a fast order, direction, communication system between you and your preclear so you don't have to stumble around on it for a long time. And then I would just simply go in immediately into step 1 of SOP8C. B3D back of your head and so forth. And find some place where you're not, so I can't be back of my head. Why, you just immediately go into beingness processing. Fellow says, his back of his head, you just immediately go into beingness processing. I mean, that'd be a wide choice there. Then after you've had him be a few things, you might find that you've remedied a few havingnesses. He's found out that he could be these things. He starts to bog, you get more like him and remedy the havingness of it. You square this around, made him be a few more things, and you find out that his perception has picked up pretty well and so forth. Why, just take him on a grand tour. After you've had him on a grand tour, somewhere on that grand tour, you exteriorized him and interiorized him out of things. If he didn't get dopey, or if he did get dopey, after that, run him some more beingness processing. Remedy some more havingness, real simple. Now, after you've remedied this havingness and beingness, and you've run this some more, why, take him on a change of space to the basic places where he's been in difficulty in the meshed universe, a list of which is available. All right? And you can go on from there into 8-0, operating phase, which we're not taking up particularly at this time, but that merely restores to, or seeks to, restore to the Thetan those capabilities, natively, on which he has come to depend on some other object. For instance, he depends on the body to talk for him. He depends upon this to do this for him, and that to do that for him. We remedy these dependencies. What processes do we use to remedy these, however? Beyond just putting him in control of the body of animals and so forth. We get him out in spaces and have him make a noise, and then we get him to change his mind around about whether or not he can make noises or not make noises. We run avalanches of sound on him and do various things, and you'll find out all of a sudden why the fellow can say in a very weak sort of way, hell, or something. Give him some simple word. They often feel like they're shouting when they are barely whispering. And they've been so convinced that they're so powerful that they have to be so restrained, they think any energy mass or anything that they put up is just going to be overwhelming, that will floor the whole valley, and as a matter of fact, it might even knock over a matchstick. See, they've got a mistaken idea. They've been balled out enough and convinced enough and figured enough so that they think that they will just blow everything down if they use any energy or manufacture any energy. All right, then we just remedy all these kinds of energy which the individual has. We change postulates and so forth. We've just about got it when we've got these processes. Now, if you take a full, all-out sort of a procedure, what in all of this procedure requires any real sensitivity on your part? Well, that which requires sensitivity on your part is beingness processing. When I say remedy havingness to you, I'm saying, by beingness processing, if we happen to discover some scarcities, we remedy it. That's how you remedy havingness. And in avalanches, after he can successfully be a planet. Now, I said change of space. Yes, the second beingness span that you would run would include these avalanches. You got it. I think that was the way I put it down the first list. That's the way about the way I would audit it if I were auditing pre-clear. Well, what's your responsibility now towards your pre-clears that you're handling? Well, you probably right now have recognized several spots that you have hit where the havingness should have been remedied. Got that? Well, you just go back and pick them up and remedy them. That's easy, isn't it? They're laid out right there. No complication about it. And having done this, let's go on with the processes which I have just laid out. I'll go over it again as an opening procedure, making sure this pre-clear is following your directions. You know, you can see his body move. You can't fool that. And then I'd go into some step one, SOPHC, see, and until I found out whether he could exteriorize or not now, and then whether he did or didn't, run some beingness processing, and then run him around on the grand tour, and then some more beingness processing, this time with some avalanches, and then run him around on change of space processing, get that cleaned up, and probably then some more beingness processing, and we're practically on out through the roof, and we're all ready for 8-0. So let's get going on that. Your main difficulty, in any case which you have, which isn't advancing, I repeat, your main difficulties, will be that the case has not been doing what you told him to do. That'll be your main difficulty. The case isn't running well, or is bogging, or something of the sort, or isn't showing enormous advancement. Then the case isn't quite doing what you told him to do. And that you should be terrifically suspicious of. And you should salt your patter down whether your case is doing well or not doing well. You should simply salt your patter down all the way along the line with, all right, do so-and-so. How did you do that? Where are you now? All right, what are you doing? Now, you ask somebody who's unstably outside, where are you now, you know, and he's liable to do a flip on you, see? He's told you several times enough to show you he's adequately locating himself in various places. Just ask him, where are you now? What are you doing? And so forth. And get suspicious anytime he doesn't get a communication change every few minutes. If you don't get a communication change every 6 or 8 minutes with a pre-clear, he isn't doing what you say. Or you're jamming his comm line in some fashion or another. So then the next step is your auditor presence with the pre-clear. That is, he isn't doing what you say. That's why his case isn't improving. If that isn't it, then he is doing what you're doing. Then you're not saying the things to do in some fashion that's comprehensible. You're telling him to do one thing, and then you're asking him immediately to do something else. That's a little rarer, but you say to the individual, all right, now, let's be 3 feet back of your head. 3 feet back of your head. All right, now let's mock up a planet and avalanche it. Total non sequitur, see? The fellow says, well, wait a minute, I'm not 3 feet back of my head, I'm not exteriorizing yet, and so forth. And you say, well, give me some places where you aren't. And the fellow thinks for a moment, he says, I can't seem to get any of those right now. You say, well, that's all right, give me something that's really real to you. You've got now 4 unexecuted commands. Now, the case is running like this. You've got 4 commands, which are suspended cycles of action. And he'll just go, meow, claps. Why? It's because you kept giving him these things, you see, and he couldn't do any one of them, so you handed him all these failures. The actual failure is not to carry through at least some version of the commands you gave him. Now, sometimes when you say to a person, be 3 feet back of your head, he says, I'm not. Well, you say, okay. All right, you're not. Then we'll take it up this way. That's an expected sort of thing. But you could soften that. Well, give me some parts of your body you're not in. He'll then take that in lieu of and executing that. It will finish off the cycle for him. See, at least isn't in some parts of the body. All right, this isn't a complete failure. So you want to be chary with somebody that's working poorly about how tough your commands are to him. You know, don't give him big, great, broad commands. All right, now start an avalanche of stars and planets all rolling in on you simultaneously from 360 degrees. Okay, you got that? This fella couldn't mock up a dog a couple of minutes ago. I'll say, well, that's that. Another way to stop some guy from advancing, by the way, and communicating well, is say, be in the center of the room, now shout. Oh, you didn't, huh? End of session. Okay, now you have the procedure that you're following. I say I'll write it down, and I wish you luck with it. Okay.